Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, Signs of the End Times. Describing the great tribulation predicted by Jesus cannot be delivered in a small, quiet way, since it will be the worst catastrophic event in the history of man, as two-thirds of the earth's population will be killed, and the majority of them will end up in the lake of fire. Pastor John speaks again on lawlessness and what the swine flu is all about. He then defines what the Great Tribulation is and how long it is going to last. In reading the Bible, we find two parallel tracks of activity, Satan's and the work that God is doing on the earth. Pastor John then proceeds to detail what the devil is going to do through deception, global financial control, and how he is going to wage war against the true church of Jesus Christ. Pastor John thunders against the mark of the beast and warns Christians about its cost and how they will lose their salvation if they take it. He finishes by sharing what Christians need to do to prepare for this time of trouble called the Great Tribulation. This message is entitled Part 6A, Final Events. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, July 26, 2009. And this is our last Sunday of this month. I can't believe it. July is gone. We're getting into August and the year is just disappearing. Today I'm going to be preaching on final events. And I want to share this with you. Sometimes people wonder, you know, how are sermons coming about? Let me show you how God did work in my life. I do not subscribe to any other preacher. I do not listen to anyone else to find out what they're doing. But each message that I bring here is been given to me by the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing after having done 1,195 sermons, that they still are fresh, something new every week. You will never run out of material when you follow the Bible. So this is how I prepare the messages. And so you listen, you look upon it, and I am only using material from the Bible. I have illustrations. And if Jesus felt it was important for us to know, then we would do well to listen to and see what he has said. So let's stand right now and we will pray over the message. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now that you will take these words that I've been speaking today, Lord. And then, Father God, they will go deep into our hearts. We need to learn to know the future. We need to know, Father God, that we will never panic. We can simply tell people, well, this was going to happen today, and later on this will happen, and then that will happen, and Jesus is going to come back. Thank you, Father, for giving us confidence, strength, and power from your word. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Last week, I preached on lawlessness. And there are two things I'd like to share with you as I start off here today. That the love of many shall wax cold. I have heard many different things, but this is probably one of the worst incidents that I have ever heard in my life. About 17 years ago or 18 years ago, a man and a woman married, and they were living in the Walnut Creek area, which is here in California, just outside San Francisco, maybe about an hour or so east. And God blessed them with a son. And but 6.5 years later, about 6 years later, The marriage went sour, and they divorced. The man moved up here someplace in the Sacramento area, married somebody else, and had another child, which is now a son 10 years old. The mother was raising the child, had joint custody with the father, so on weekends he was with his father. And it stated this, matter of fact, the father stated that when he was driving from Sacramento down to the Bay Area, it gave him a chance to really talk to his son, and they got very close. The son now was 16 and a half years old. He was 6'3" tall and very active in school and in his sports and so on. Now, his mother had difficulty. She had a job someplace, and she had difficulty. And so there was financial things. And this is where I want to bring out a point, that the love of many shall wax cold. She went out and bought her .357 Magnum revolver. And then she planned to kill her son and herself. And this last weekend, the son was supposed to come up and spend time with his father for a week's vacation. And the mother, the day before, took him up on Mount Diablo, which means the mountain of the devil, which is right outside Walnut Creek and in that area. And there was just an outing, so she probably said to him, you know, let's just go on and have an outing and just have a good time. And she had planned this, and she had a gun in her purse. As they were walking up the mountain on the trails there, it's a beautiful area. It shouldn't be called the Devil's Mountain. It should be called God's Mountain. Then she was behind him, and she pulled a gun out and shot him twice, once in the back, once in the head, and he fell down dead, 16 and a half years old. Then she put a gun to her own head and killed herself on the spot. This is selfishness, because if she had problems, she could have let her son live and not take the son's life. But I want to share with you to show you that normally a mother will never harm a child. And this shows you that when people do not have Christ, they do not know Jesus, they're living a life in sin and things are not working out for them, that they will do things that are very difficult, very hard. I can just imagine the surprise of the mother, because, you know, when you die, you don't die. I mean, the body dies. And the son stepping out of his mother, turning around and sees his mother shoot herself, and then the mother steps out of her body. And they stand and look at each other, and then angels are coming, taking them to hell. You can imagine the scream of the mother saying, well, I didn't mean this. This is not what I wanted. But once you have exited this earth, it is too late. Whatever you've done, you are done. It's either going up or going down. The other thing I want to share with you, we're talking here about deception and false prophet and so on, that I want you to think about. The drumbeat about the swine flu is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I read in the papers, this was the United States, was a disease control, which is the official department in Atlanta, and they simply said that they expect 40% of the American population this fall to have the swine flu. Normally, about 20% of a population every year gets some kind of a flu, but this time they said 40%. It's amazing how they know these things. Furthermore, they predicted that 90,000 Americans would die this fall of the flu. They're beating up the drumbeat to simply saying, you know, we got to have the vaccination and so on. Now, I'm going to ask you a question, you that are here today, that are listening to me right now. On this planet, the planet is divided by the equator. South of the equator right now, we have winter, right? This is their winter time. July is their month of December. We are in summertime up here. Now, if the swine flu is waiting for the fall to strike and the winter time, why is the swine flu staying north of the equator? It really should have been moving south and hit hard in South America, Africa, Australia, Indonesia, and all nations there are south of the equator. Are you thinking with me? But you know, you don't hear there's no epidemic in the south. But they are now in their winter season. What does should that tell us? It should tell us this, that somebody is planning something for us. And we need to take heed and understand that this is part of the plan, because what I read behind the lines is this, that they want to reduce the population in the world. Because when the Antichrist comes, the more people, the harder it is to control. The less people, the easier to control. Having said this, the two things, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Now, I didn't write Matthew 24. Jesus spoke it, and Matthew wrote it down. And Jesus gave this to us to prepare us. Let me read from my outline now. Jesus said that if this, what is the great tribulation? That's a question we want to ask. What is the great tribulation? Jesus said that if this time period was not shortened, no human would survive. The reason these turbulent days are shortened is because of the elect, God's people, the Christians. The teachings that Christians will be taken up in the rapture before this time period begins is not found in the Bible, but a fabrication of John Darby and Cyrus Schofield. Let's read now Matthew 24 and verses 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. These two short verses, Jesus said there's going to be great tribulation, a shaking. It has never existed like this before. It will never come back again. And that it had been shortened in order for people to be able to survive. The great tribulation is a time when Satan will put his man of sin, the Antichrist, into a world dictatorship, but it's also a time when God will judge the people of the world like never before. So how long will this period last? Let me say this. Today I'm going to be teaching on what the devil plans to do. Next week, I'm going to be finishing this series. I'm going to be teaching what God is going to do and how everything is going to end. Now, it might be looking depressing right now, but think about it this way. When everything is said and done, we are going to be with God forever in heaven and later come back to the earth for a time and then go back again into eternity with Him. We have a secure future. We don't have to be vacillating and says, well, you know, this is hard. We have a very secure future. There's going to be some difficult times. And you see, if Jesus had not told us this, we would be in confusion. We would say, well, what is this? Where's God? That's why he had to tell us this, so that when these things come, we will not be in confusion. We will simply say, okay, God told us, no big deal. Eventually, Jesus is coming back. How long will this period last? They're teaching at Derby and Schofield that this is a 7 years period. It's another false teaching and cannot be found in the Bible. Now, they talk about weeks, Daniel's week, 7 days here and there, and make it into years and so on. It's construction. We don't know. It doesn't say that. But in the book of Revelation, Jesus told us that the Antichrist will reign for 1 hour. Now turn to Revelation 17. That's Revelation 17. This is a firm word that we have from the Lord. Revelation 17. And we pick it up in verse number 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life for the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. In Revelation 13, it talks about that the beast will be killed but resurrected. And here's a mind which is wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. That's the city of Rome. Now, prior to this, he talks about the great whore. The amazing thing is now this, that everybody of some kind of stature is working hard to reconcile with Rome. In the United States, the Assemblies of God formed a committee as early as in the late 1980s. And this committee of Assembly of God representatives have been going back and forth to the Vatican and having a dialogue how they can evangelize together. That's the Assemblies of God. Now, if you go to the Lutherans, they pretty much have gone back to the whore. If you look upon churches in Europe, for example, in Sweden, they have put together the Baptist, the Mission Covenant Church, and an Evangelical Free Church have now come together to be one. And they are all together with a Catholic Church in Sweden, and they are working hard to get one unity with Rome. The renegade preacher Ulf Ekman came out of Rima and was preaching Jesus died spiritually a number of years ago. And in the 1980s and 81, he was railing against the great whore, and he simply said the Catholic Church is a great whore. Today, he has turned around 100 degrees. And when he leads tours to the Holy Land, he tells his people that are with him on a tour, please buy for yourself a little statue of Mary. It is good for you to have a little statue of Mary. People have become crazy. And they have been filled with demonic powers. And then we read, and the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings, 1 hour with the beast. Let's read the verse 12 again. Look at it now. And the 10 horns, which you saw, are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. That's a time period, 1 hour. Now, how much can you do in 1 hour? Not a whole lot. It's obvious that this is a different period than our time. These have one mind and should give their power and strength unto the beast. Using the understanding that God gave to the Apostle Peter, that one day with God is 1,000 years for man, we can calculate that 1 hour for God is 41.67 years for man. 2 Peter 3:8. That's 2 Peter 3, and we pick it up in verse number 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Ask yourself this question. If this is not important, why did the Apostle Peter write this down? If this is just random, why did he write it down? But if you think about now that 1,000 years for us is one day for the Lord. Do you know how many days it is since creation? 7 days. We have moved into the 8th day after creation. And we are approximately somewhere between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning on the 8th day. My conclusion is, this is my conclusion now, that the Great Tribulation will last at least 42 years. What is Satan going to do? Satan has been working for the last 7,000 years to set up a world government that will be a dictatorship. He's tried it twice, and both attempts were destroyed by God. Turn to Genesis chapter 6, and we look at the first one. That's Genesis, the 6th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses there. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, fallen ones, and also to that when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the first attempt to create a world government. And it was a mixture of demonic beings, fallen angels, and mankind. Halflings. Half human, half demonic. These were the people that had power in those days. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the time of the coming of the Son of God, or the Son of Man. One of the first things that Barack Obama did as soon as he became president was to rescind the ban on stem cell research. Simply saying, we need this. Cloning has been around for some time, but right now it is being accelerated. And they are simply trying to create, again, halflings, demonic and human beings. We know that they have been cloning for years, but now they're going to do it openly, which means that during the tribulation period, we will have beings here that are not human, not demonic, but they are halflings. Praise God, he destroyed it back in Genesis. Now turn to Genesis chapter 11, Satan's second attempt. And the whole earth was a one language and a one speech. Let me ask you a question now. What is the slogan today? Global economy. Globalization. Global this and global that. What is the universal language today in the world? Not French. Not Spanish. Not Russian, but English. If you want to have any business in the world, if you are a diplomat, whatever it is, English is a language that is in every nation. Even the communists in North Korea are learning English. And the whole earth was a one language and a one speech. This is where we're heading. And it came to pass as a journey from the east that they found a plain land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they brick for stone and slime it for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. Let me ask you this. Man does not want God, but he sure liked to reach out into the universe. Today we have the International Space Station. You ever thought about that? The former enemy of the United States, the Soviet Union, the United States, and I believe about 7 or 8 other nations, including Japan, have worked on the International Space Station. We are reaching up, out. We're trying to build a name for ourselves. And the Lord came down to see the tower, see the city and the tower, which the children of man built. I want you to see verse number 6 now. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. When you have the whole world having one language, it is going to increase the technology advances. Go to. Let us go down and there confound the language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And the Lord, so the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Now we are back building that city of Satan. Let me turn Over here we go to the second page of the outline. The good news is this. The third attempt will also be destroyed, but not until Satan has ruled the entire earth for an unspecified amount of time. That is at least, according to my understanding, 41.67 years. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. The Soviet Union lasted from 1917 to 91. A little bit over 70 years. And people living in Russia thought that was a long time. And it was a long time. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, if I can find it, that would be really great. I want to pick it up from verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together to him, that you be not soon shaken in mind to be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That's the second coming. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. A lot of people are simply saying, well, but is Jesus going to come back? When Jesus going to go back? You realize this, that every day people are exiting from this earth. As far as they're concerned, the day of the Lord has come. Who opposes, exalt himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not, when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. If you listen to the bickering right now between Israel and the United States, it's over settlements in Jerusalem. And the American Jewish leadership, they want to stop the settlement, they want to do something else. But Israeli Jews, they want to keep building because a temple is ready. The temple of the Antichrist is ready. It sits in warehouses. It is prefabricated. My estimate is that when they blow the mosque off the Temple Mount, it will only take them 1 week to put the temple up. Let me give you a sign. When we go to see, talk about destruction of Jerusalem. And when you see the mosque on the Temple Mount destroyed, then you can count that we are now moving rapidly right into the tribulation period. Today we are in a time of sorrow. We're just not getting into it. But then it will happen. Once you see that mosque gone, you're going to see television programming simply from Jerusalem saying that something exciting is happening. The Jews are rebuilding the temple again. And when you hear that, know that the Antichrist is not too far behind. But he will move into that temple, inaugurate it, and said, I am God. It is going to happen. Some of us might live to see that happen. It is prophesied. Don't get shook. Simply says, okay, sign number 1, done. That means we are that closer to Jesus coming. Turn to Revelation 13 now. That's Revelation chapter 13. And you know, they've been collecting money for the temple. And many Christians have been giving money for the Jews to be able to build their brand new temple. When the Bible says that Jesus was the last sacrifice, there's no more sacrifice. In Revelation 13, we read this. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, and they worshipped Satan. We gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and then they dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power was given over all kingdoms and tongues of nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. How would we react on this now? There's going to come a time when we will not be able to function like we're doing today. And I'm not talking only to you that are here today, but also to people outside our walls. Some of you have set aside money. And some of you are saving for a rainy day, and you have all kind of plans, and you made investments, and you got houses and lands and all kind of different things that you really do not need. And eventually, here's what's going to happen. When you leave this earth, who is going to have your possessions? It will be your children, your grandchildren, or if you don't have any children, the state, wherever you live, will take your property. If you got family, what are you going to do with your property? What are you going to do with the money you saved up and all the other things? If they are not saved, they're going to go, yippee, extra cash, let's go and blow it. Cruise, gambling, buy this, buy that. And all the money that you held on to, you saved and you worked hard for, it did blow like this, and you're on the other side of eternity looking down from heaven as you are a Christian. Talk about Christian's lamb, and you say, oh my God, you know, I could have given that to the work of the Lord, and people could have gotten saved, and I blew it. It doesn't mean that you sell everything you have, but this is the time to invest what you can in the kingdom of God, because the time is going to come when we be pulled off the internet. The time will come when we will be pulled out of this building, all the churches, unless you're part of the great whore. And we cannot do it anymore. Now, I read something in a paper just a day or 2 days ago, and I was surprised. Did you know that the Homeland Security Department have their own goon squad? Actually, law enforcement, they call it. And there was somebody, a Border Patrol guy, was killed down on the border to Mexico. And this week, Homeland Security personnel raided and arrested a person in San Jose, which is about 600 miles away from the border. Homeland Security really should be called Homeland Insecurity. And these will not be beneficial toward us. They already have their troops, their military forces ready to go. And the Bible says here, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints, to overcome them, and power given to all kings and tongues and nations. As I was listening to Charles Stanley this morning, he's a very conservative and he's really not making too much waves of anything. He gave a very strong warning today. He said this, unless the American people rise up now and take control and move back evil, he said a day will come when we will not only be looked down upon, but we will be persecuted. Even the big boys know that it's coming down. They just tell it to you in a little bit, you know, sugar-coated form. You know, not be alarmed, you know, but you might be persecuted. The next thing that will happen is there will be great deception. This global kingdom of Satan will consist of both political and religious rule. When God called Moses and set up the nation of Israel, it was a theocracy that was centered on God as the absolute ruler. The global kingdom of Satan will be a strong religious system which will give power to the political leader who will also be an object of worship. Large numbers of Christians will be duped and lured into the system. 2 Thessalonians, back again. 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to pick this up in chapter 2, and we begin in verse number 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of inviting them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Notice here now, who is going to send them the strong delusion? God will. God is going to say this, look, you did not want to follow me in truth. You want to listen to lies. I'm going to give you over to deception. You're going to believe it. I'm an ordained Southern Baptist minister. And when I came to the seminary in 1969, the Southern Baptist churches were strong. It was a strong group of people, 25 million strong. I did not believe it. Neither anyone believed if we would have simply said that give it 25 years or more, there will be a Southern Baptist minister by the name of Rick Warren, and he will be trained by a person in the occult, Robert Schuller, the Hour of Power, and he will be trained into deception. And he will actually take now 60% of the Southern Baptist Convention is now a purpose-driven church movement. Every week, Rick Warren is spitting out sermons that his clones sitting all over the United States are simply taking down and preaching the same thing what he preached a week ago. Deception. There's deception in just about every church that has been. And God said, because they believed a lie, I will send strong delusion. And for this cause, God shall set them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasured righteousness. God says here through Paul that they all might be judged who believe not the truth but have pleasure in unrighteousness. If you want to know what ruin is, my brother and I were raised in Sweden. My wife was raised in Sweden too. And it used to be that we had strong Baptist churches. The Salvation Army was a strong, powerful force. And the Free Evangelical Church was a strong force. And so on. And today, these churches are gone. I hear people from Sweden say it all the time. I cannot go to church anymore. There is no place to go. Homosexuals are running. They have thrown out the Bible. They're doing all kind of different things. And they are simply totally gone to the dogs. And it's coming here. It is here already. But then, Paul said this, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of us here today came out of deception. Some of you are former Catholics. Some of you came out of different cults. Some of you were like me, we were just dirty sinners. And we came out. And look what it says in verse number 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You understand it's a blessing to be in this church, not because I am here, but because we have decided not to have any deception. It's a blessing. Now let's move on to Revelation 17. And I want to read about the great whore. Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, talked with me, saying to me, come hither. I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wines of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Martin Luther labeled Rome as the great whore. Every preacher of any stature for the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, 1900s, they said, Rome is the whore. Today, any preacher of stature says the Pope is a great guy. And you know, the Dalai Lama is a buddy of the Pope. And he's a buddy of everybody. All roads lead to Rome. Yes, it will. In these very end times. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said to me, wherefore did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast, that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. And then we drop down to verse 15. And he says to me, the water which you saw, where the horse sits, are peoples and mountain nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, he shall hate the whore, shall make it desolate, the naked shall eat the flesh and burn it with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to their greed, and give the kingdom unto the beast, that the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is a great city, which reigns over the kings of the earth. I am predicting and telling you this, that in the near future, you're going to find that the Roman Catholic Church, they all that had made peace with the Greek Orthodox Church, they're exchanging bishops now. Not too far, you will have the Russian Orthodox Church getting back in there. You will have the Lutheran churches coming back in. You will have the Assemblies of God coming in. You will have the Baptists coming in. You will have the Lutherans coming in. They're all going to march down and simply say, great is the Pope. And great is Mary, the mother of Jesus. You're going to hear them say that. And they're going to call us troublemakers. They're going to say, we're finally going to have peace. Everybody's going to be together. No more wars. They're going to call you and me troublemakers. Satan is going to rule by religious power and political power. There will be a total financial control. In Satan's global kingdom, there will be absolute financial control like the world has never seen. In order for the system to be operational, technology must be advanced to the point that no one can do a transaction without being tracked by computers, which are controlled by Satan and his earthly leadership. Try to do some banking today without any tracks, and you will find out you cannot do that. What's the first thing they ask if you want a loan? What is your social security number? Do you realize 30 years ago you want to buy a car, and so you had to put a little down payment on? And then this is what it's going to take us about 2-3 days to check your credit. Remember those days, you older folks like me? It took about 2-3 days. How long does it take now to check your credit? Less than 5 minutes. All I need is a social security number. They go back in the back room, plug that in, and in just a few minutes, 3 different credit bureaus will come up, and they will show everything that you owe, every bill you paid, every account you have, where you live, everything will be right there. And they will say, well, you got good credit, or they said we would turn you down. We are in a system of almost total financial global control. In Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and on. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, he spake like the devil. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused all the earth, and then the dweller in to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in the right hand with their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had a mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Our wonderful Mr. Obama has put another proposal to Congress. And that is a revamping of our tax system. And in this, they have written down, we want to get away from all income filing by paper. We want to create a supercomputer system in which the employer directly inform the IRS how much they are paid. Wherever you go, banks, everything will be tied into the IRS supercomputers, and there will be no need to file an income tax in the future under the Obama administration. And he simply said, you know, that will make it easy for people. They don't understand it. All you have to do is that you will be assessed a tax. The IRS will take all the papers, all the information, and compute and simply say, this is how much you owe. And guess what? You don't even have to write a check for that. They will go straight into your bank account and take out what you owe in addition to what you already paid in. Now, isn't that wonderful? You know, all the paperwork, we don't have to do it anymore. Have you noticed on all the bills that you're getting, they always have this. Get rid of the stamp. Go online banking. Pay your bills online, online. Get out of paper. Do it online. A global financial control is what we are coming down to. And it's very close. I mean, the technology is there. The last verse that we read is, here's wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, his number is 603 and 6. 666. Let me read to you from the outline. The system is identified by Jesus as a number 666. Every Jew living at the time when the book of Revelation was given to the apostles, to the apostle John, knew that this was a number name of the Kabbalistic Jews who were striving to build the kingdom of Israel and to rule the entire world from Jerusalem. The Old Testament supplies us with the information we need about 666 and its meaning. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. That's 1 Kings chapter 10. And you'll be surprised what you're going to find. 1 Kings, the 10th chapter. There's only two places in the Bible we have the number 666. Only two. If you have this here in 1 Kings chapter 10. And I'm getting there, slowly but surely. Here we go. And we pick it up in verse number 14. Now the weight of the gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 and 6 talents of gold. 666. They couldn't give him any more. They couldn't give him any less because his name was 666. That's his Kabbalistic number. Then we read this. And we now drop down to verse number 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory, overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on the one side, on the other, up on the 6th step. There was not the like made in any kingdom. Now, if you want to see King Solomon's throne, turn to the last page, and you have a big blow-up picture of Solomon's throne. This picture is taken straight out of the Jewish material. This is taken out from I can't remember the book right now, but it's a Jewish material. And if you look now, you have Sabbatai Sivai. He's the one that 1666 set out the Messiah. He sits on the throne. If you notice now, you got six lines on one side, six lines on the other side, and there are six steps leading up, which means that anyone standing before him simply looked at 666. This is a replica of King Solomon's throne that the Bible says no one has ever seen anything like that before. You take that and you ponder about that. And then we read in 1 Kings 11. And I want to read these verses here. And King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites. Of the nation concerning which the Lord said to the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after the gods. Solomon clave unto them in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, whores, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart at the other gods. His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. And then you can read the temples he built when he sacrificed children on. Now, let me say this to you. Most of you might not know that. Freemasonry is part of the Kabbalah. Freemasonry is an arm of the world government. If you read any Freemasonic literature, they are always talking of, we are rebuilding the Temple of Solomon. The people in Freemasonry are going back to Solomon, a man that died, a Satan worshiper, that is their hero. 666. Today, the system now has a different name, but it's still run by the descent of these renegade Jews from the time of Solomon. The World Zionist Federation has been operating since 1898, but it became both a political and a religious system. The World Zionist Federation, their number is 666. Most of us never heard of it. Satan will wage war against the church. Christianity must be suppressed in order for the global kingdom of Satan to exist. And Jesus warned us this would happen. Since the days of Adam, Satan has persecuted men and women who love God, walk with him, but this time we have persecution on a worldwide scale like never before. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation, the 12th chapter. You know, all the pieces are here in the world. The only thing is that Christians have not connected the dots. And do you notice that probably 50% or more of Southern Baptist ministers are also Freemasons? And you have Freemasons among the Lutherans, the Pentecostals, and if you go to any town, you will find that usually the mayor, the leadership, the chief of police, the judges, they are all Freemasons. Check it out, and you will find this is the leadership in our nation and in every nation. In Revelation 12, 7, we read this. And there was war in heaven. Mike and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren cast down with the accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, of the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And then we read here from verse number 17. And the dragon, Satan, was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with a remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's us. Up to now, when we got saved and moved into the kingdom of God, we today had the power to cast out demons. We have power to pray. We have power to do a lot of things. That power will disappear during this time of the tribulation. Today is the day we have that power. Tomorrow we don't know. We should simply use this power on a daily basis. Because eventually it will be taken away. Jesus said, work while I see it till this day. The night comes when no one can work. Let me take it out to Revelation 14:9. Revelation 14:9. And I want to read to you here from my outline. And I have said this now for the last 10-15 years. Any human being who takes the mark of the beast will not be forgiven of this rebellious sin. Once you take the mark of the beast, there can be no repentance or changes to undo it. And you have sentenced yourself to the lake of fire. Any born-again believers taking the mark of the beast will be stripped of their salvation and condemned to the lake of fire forever. Revelation 14:9. I can't emphasize this strong enough. And the third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of the torment ascends up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receives the mark of his name. If you cannot handle depression, if you cannot handle persecution, if you cannot handle being lonely, or whatever emotions you have, you fall apart and say, oh, God, I can't handle this. How are you going to handle it today when you will read in the paper, hear on the news, just like they did with our television? They gave us a day and said on June 17th, 2009, all television would go to digital. You had no say. I had no say. What are you going to do when they simply say this? It is not enough that we have the tax system automatic, that everything is done now via computer. It's not enough. You must now have a mark. I believe it is a chip. That they say you either get it here on your right hand or you get it in your forehead. So wherever you go, you'll be scanned. You don't have to carry any more identification. Isn't that wonderful? No more wallet. All you need to do is to show your mark. They scan you and says, oh yeah, you got credit. You can buy this. You can do this. You can go here. But if you take that, you are toast. You understand that? You cannot ask for forgiveness. We have sinned. People that got divorced. We ask for forgiveness, and we are forgiven. But this is one act that God says, I will not forgive. Once you do it, it's over. If you have accepted Christ, he will take away that from you. I predict the mark of the beast will be given in church buildings, among other places. You're going to find pastors standing there and say, look, congregation, we got now some peace and tranquility in the world. We have organized religion together. We are just one religion now, and this will make it impossible for wars. So, gentlemen and ladies, step up and take the mark of the beast and be part of the new world. You're going to find Baptist pastors, Pentecostal pastors, Catholic priests, Russian Orthodox, you name it. They'd be there. And they would be proud of saying, I took the mark of the beast on my forehead to really worship him. The same condition that existed in the Garden of Eden when God told Adam not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil will also exist during the great tribulation. Instead of a tree and its fruit, the object now will be the mark of the beast. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis, the second chapter. If you read verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you might freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And die he did. And he took all of us with him. What are Christians to do? Let me just read this here. Take it to Matthew chapter 10. And I try to wrap this up here. Matthew chapter 10. First of all is this. I want to tell you this. When you go home and eat the meal, get your hands together and say, thank you, Father God. Thank you for this meal, because someday we might not have a meal. When you lay down your bed, say, oh God, thank you for my bed. When you take a shower and you feel that great water coming on you, that soothing water, say, thank you, Lord, for a shower, because some days we will not have that. Let's be thankful right now. Let's praise him right now for everything we have and worship him instead of complaining and say, well, I want this, I want that. Praise him what you have. What are Christians to do? When we arrive this time in the future, there's only one thing you can do. Refuse the mark of the beast. Satan will not forcefully implant the mark in you. If you don't want it, on the contrary, you must be willing to accept the mark of the beast of your own free will and voluntarily worship Satan. For the Christian lived during this time is going to be the same for them as it was with all the saints in history who gave up their lives when they refused to renounce Jesus and worship a deified man or a man-made God with a small g. There's nothing man can do about this dark future because it has been predicted by God. It will come to pass just like he said. People living through these times need to accept and embrace the truth and ask God for grace and mercy. Matthew 10, 28. That's Matthew 10, 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear you not, therefore. You are more valued than many sparrows. Some of us might lose our physical life. Whosoever therefore shall confess before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Learn to confess Jesus Christ. Simply say, my Heavenly Father, make me fearless. How can we become fearless? When we know that if they take our lives, we will go to be with God. We will not feel the pain. We will simply walk out of our bodies. And we will be with Jesus. You know, Satan is very cruel. Right now, in Iran, they are executing a number of young people. They were protesting, and of course you don't read this too much in the papers. And one of the laws in the stupid, and I said stupid, damn Quran, if I cannot use words enough on that, it states this, that a state cannot, they cannot execute a virgin. That's against Islam. So the goons simply do this. They have this guard, goon guards, made out of our goons. And the night before they are going to execute these young women, they rape them. And then they can say they are no longer virgins. Now hang them. That's Satan. That's how cruel he is. Do we hear any protest in this country? Do we hear people in the pulpit saying anything about it? You know, we are preoccupied. We are looking at our fingernails. You know, we're looking at our navel. You know, we can have more of this and more of that. We need to wake up and begin to preach and say enough is enough as long as we have light and power. How can you prepare for this time of trouble? Closing scriptures in the book of Acts chapter 4. You know, I get so angry when I read this and hear this and see this. If I had angels under my command, I would clean house. I told God many times, thank you, you didn't make me an angel. I could not obey God if I were an angel. I would simply kill people that were doing bad things. I just wiped them out. That's why I'm not an angel. I'm a man. Acts chapter 4. But God made me a fighter. In Acts 4:15, we read this. But when they had commanded them to go outside, out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But let it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than to God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing, how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, that's the congregation there. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For the truth against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold our threatenings, and grant unto your servants that they with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. This is what the Holy Ghost told me 60 seconds ago as I read this. We're going to have a different invitation today. And now, Lord, behold our threatenings, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. Today I'm giving an invitation for boldness. We could have the elders here in a few moments. An invitation is simply this. You heard a message today, you know what's coming down the pipeline. If you want to have boldness, the Holy Spirit says, I'm here today. And when you come up today, you're not going to ask for any money. You're not going to ask for anything else. You'd simply say, pray for me that I will be bold. Like the apostolic church in Jerusalem. I want to be bold. And when I go out, I want to go out blazing, praising God. And simply glorifying the Lamb of God. That's how I want to go. You that are watching us right now, you might be watching later on. And you might simply say, well, what can I do where I sit? As you see these elders here praying for the people, you stand up where you are. Stand up in your room. Speak in whatever language is your native language. And simply say this, my Heavenly Father, I stand with a congregation in Sacramento, and I'm asking you, make me bold. And the Holy Ghost is going to fall on you, wherever you are. Let's stand and let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now. And Father God, I just bless you right now, Lord, that you have made me bold. And you took away all fear. I was a fearful creep years ago. And you took it away. And I thank you, Father God, for giving me more boldness. Give me more boldness yet, Lord. And Father God, I pray for this great congregation we have here. I pray for the great congregation we have around the world. That right now as they begin to stand up, they're going to stand up and say, count me in. Wherever I'm at, make me bold. You're my moldig. Ye may mold. I cannot stay mold javelin. Thank you, Father. If it is in German, if it is in Swedish, or whatever language people are speaking, make them bold right now. And Father God, I'm going to go away now. It's up between you and your people. And I'm going to stand back. And Holy Spirit, you do your work now. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Elders, you come on up here. When we pray for people today, if they want to have for healing or whatever it is, we pray for that later. But the first thing we're going to pray for is boldness. That people want to be bold. So you simply... That's the prayer today. And if you want to be bold, here are the elders right now. You come and say, pray for me. This is how I want to be.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, If you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the sixth part in the series, Signs of the End Times, and was entitled, Final Events. The Great Tribulation predicted by Jesus cannot be delivered in a small, quiet way. Pastor John didn't hold anything back as he spoke again on lawlessness and gave a vivid example of man's depravity and what the swine flu is all about. He then defined what the Great Tribulation is and how long it will last. In reading the Bible, we find two parallel tracks of activity, Satan's and the work that God is doing on the earth. Pastor John then proceeded to detail what the devil is going to do through deception, global financial control, and how he will wage war against the true church of Jesus Christ. Pastor John thundered against the mark of the beast and warned Christians about its cost and how they will lose their salvation if they take it. He finished by sharing what Christians need to do to prepare for this time of trouble called the Great Tribulation. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1196. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.